Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Tzivi Zuckerman, and today we will be studying Sefer Micha, Perek Aleph, Chapter 1. I'd like to begin with the following quote. A great civilization is not conquered from without until it has destroyed itself from within. This quote, by historians Will and Ariel Durant, could be a headline for our Perek. This first Perek of Sefer Micha predicts the future destruction of Malchus Yisrael by Ashur, Assyria. This is the conquering from without, from the outside, which was due to the religious decay of Malchus Yisrael. And that is the self-destruction from within. The Navi Micha was the youngest of Arba'a Nevi'im Shenivu Be'oso HaPerek, four contemporaneous Nevi'im. These were Hoshea, Yeshaya, and Amos, as well as Micha himself. The first three Nevi'im began giving Nevuos during the time of King Uzziah of Malchus Yehuda, while Micha began only during the reign of Uzziah's son Yosam, and they all continued giving Nevuah through the times of Ahaz and Chizkiyahu. Micha is listed by the Rambam in the introduction to the Mishneh Torah as one of the Bali HaMasorah, one of the links in the chain of the passing down of the Oral Torah, which he received from his Rabbi, the Navi Yeshaya. Before we dive into the Sefer and the Perek, I think it will be helpful to know a little more about the background and context of Micha's time. So let's orient ourselves. We know that there were two Jewish kingdoms at this time, Malchus Yehuda, the original Davidic kingdom, and Malchus Yisrael, the breakaway kingdom of Yeravam ben Nevat, which had degenerated into an idolatrous and corrupt monarchy whose influence had penetrated into Malchus Yehuda through royal marriages. Malchus Yisrael, during Micha's time, was ruled by a string of usurpers who took power through successive military coups. Religiously and morally, the kingdom had reached a point of almost no return. Its affluent and self-absorbed upper classes were avid idolaters, leading indulgent lifestyles with no compunctions about taking advantage of the poor and weak. The mission statement of the Jewish people, to create a society of tzedek u'mishpat, of kindness and justice, in the context of avodas Hashem, of service of God, was off the radar for Malchus Yisrael. It was a society heading blindly on a self-made path toward a cliff. It was about to fall off the pages of Jewish history into the misty legends of the 10 lost tribes. Malchus Yehuda had been impacted by its sister kingdom in a more subtle way, and at this point was swinging back and forth between two poles. On the one hand, the reigns of kings who were outwardly righteous, but inwardly self-centered and insincere, to, on the other hand, a truly evil king like Ahaz, who actualized this spiritual degeneration by desecrating the Beis HaMikdash and forbidding Torah study. And then there were truly righteous kings as well, like Yosam and Chizkiyahu. Now that we have context, we can understand this perek. This is a call to these spiritually struggling kingdoms, predicting the future destruction of Shomron and the exile of the 10 tribes, which takes place a few decades later and is described in Melachim Beis, chapter 17. Our perek predicts this momentous event, describing what will happen to Shomron, why it will happen, and indicating that the negative influence of Malchus Yisrael has spread to the Davidic kingdom as well. We are introduced to Micha in Pasuk Aleph. Dvar Hashem, Asher Haya El Micha HaMorashti. The word of Hashem that came to Micha the Morashti from the town of Maresha in Yehuda, Bimei Yosam Achaz Yechizkiah Malchi Yehuda. In the days of kings of Yehuda, Yosam Achaz Yechizkiah, Asher Chaza al Shomron v'Yerushalayim. He gave prophecies about Shomron, which was the capital of Malchus Yisrael, and Jerusalem, which was the capital of the original Davidic kingdom of Malchus Yehuda. According to Radak, this verse indicates that Micha gave prophecies to both Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. The Navi begins in verse 2 by addressing these two kingdoms. Shim'u amim kulam. Listen, all the nations, which according to Mitzvot David means all the shvatim, the tribes, each its own mini-nation. Hakshivi eretz umloa. Listen, earth and all that's in it. Rav Mendel Hirsch, the son of Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch, says this refers to the natural world, which might look like it runs on its own, but in truth operates in response to man's moral choices. Now, what should they listen to? The verse continues, "Vihi Hashem Elokim b'chem la'eit. Let Hashem Elokim be a witness against you." Mr. Zastavit explains, "He warned you about this impending destruction over and over through his Nevi'im." And then, in verse 3, "Ki'ene Hashem yotzei mimkomo. Behold, Hashem is going forth from his place." Where is his place? So obviously it's metaphorical, but Rashi explains that Hashem's natural place is in his kisei rachamim, his throne of compassion. That is how Hashem wants to deal with us, from a place of compassion. But here, he is moving from his throne of compassion to his kisei din, to his throne of judgment. And in that role, the verse continues, "V'yarad v'derach abamatzei aretz." He will descend and trample the high places. Now, this can be understood literally to refer to the physical destruction of Shomron and Malchus Yisrael, or, as Rashi explains, to refer to those people who are gasei ruach, who think they are high and mighty. It is this flaw of gaiva that arguably stands at the core of all that has gone wrong in this society and in the people's relationship with God. If I stand at the center of the world, there's no place for God. And it is this gaiva, this delusion of self-importance, that will be trampled when their whole world falls apart. Verse 4 offers vivid imagery of things falling apart. V'namasu heharim, the mountains melting, v'ha'amakim yisbaka'u kadonag mipnei ha'esh, the valleys splitting apart like wax before fire. This is all the result of Hashem's judgment. The northern kingdom will be destroyed. And with it, explains Rav Mendel Hirsch, all the powerful people who thought they were so important, so invincible, they'll just melt like wax with no resistance. Why will all this happen? Verse 5, "Bepesha Yaakov kolzos." This is for the sin of Yaakov, meaning, according to Malbim, Malchus Yisrael, "Uvechatos beis Yisrael," and the transgressions of the house of Israel, which is Malchus Yehuda. The verse continues, "Mi pesha Yaakov, halo Shomron." Who caused the sin of Yaakov? Wasn't it Shomron? Mitzudas David explains, Shomron was the starting point of Bnei Yisrael's defection. The golden calves of Yeravam were the start of almost an alternate religion that degenerated into all forms of idolatry and immorality. However, finishes the pasuk, "Umi bamos Yehuda, halo Yerushalayim." And who caused the high places of Yehuda? Was it not Yerushalayim? The high places, the bamos, were altars that were permissible to be used for bringing karbanos, sacrifices, at certain times in Jewish history, but were later forbidden altogether with the building of the Beis HaMikdash. In Malachim Beis, the Navi mentions over and over that even during the reigns of good kings, the use of bamos persisted, although they were against halacha, Jewish law. These bamos were a sign of an underlying spiritual weakness that existed in Yehuda, a half-hearted faithfulness in Avodas Hashem that eventually wormed its way into full rebellion under evil kings like Ahaz. If I can't put Hashem's will first in my service of him, then whom am I serving? Probably myself. The Navi describes the fate of Shomron in verse 6. V'samti Shomron li'i hasadeh. I will make Shomron like a rubble heap in the field. The strong and wealthy capital city, the source of the greatest affection from Hashem, will be reduced to stones, which in fact is how it remains to this day. The ruins of Shomron are today an archaeological dig, a heap of stones. Verse 7 describes the fate of her idols. V'chol psileha yukatu, v'chol es naneha yisarfu va'ish. All of its idols will be smashed, all of its idolatrous gifts burned in fire. Mitzudas David explains that these are compared to the wages of a harlot, since idolatry is referred to as harlotry in the Torah, representing the Jewish people's betrayal of Hashem. V'chol atzabeha asim shmama, and all of her images I will destroy. The idols and all the wealth that came with their service will be broken, burned, destroyed. The word here for idols, atzabeha, is from the root etzev, worry. Because the idolater worries that his service of idols will not really work and will not bring him salvation. this mindset actually goes to the root of the idolatrous worldview. It's a fear-based worldview where man serves a group of vengeful, selfish gods who are inimical to human happiness. The people then model themselves after their gods in their own selfishness and self-protection, sacrificing their wealth and even their children in order to buy off the gods and get stuff in return, good crops, success, pleasure, etc. It is this degenerate and selfish society that Micha is attacking, which is not only wrong and misguided in the religious sense, but it also destroys its own society from within with its selfishness. In response to this terrible description of destruction, the Navi has an outburst of pain and sorrow in verse 8. Al zos espadav elila, for this I will lament and wail. Al chasholal v'arom, I will go around like a madman, crazed and unclothed. And now in verse 9, the Navi describes how the disease has affected Yehuda. Ki anushama kosaha, ki va'a ad Yehuda, for her wounds are incurable, for it has come even to Yehuda. Until now, the parak has been addressing Shomron, Malchus Yisrael, but now even Malchus Yehuda has been impacted by the spiritual decay. The next few verses mention the names of various cities in connection with the emotions and the process of exile. Radak explains that the specific cities mentioned here were chosen because they use Lashon Nefel Lashon, various plays on words. For example, some of the cities are phonetically similar to the phrases they are matched with, like in verse 13, Rissom Hamerkava, harness the chariot, Larechesh Yosheves Lachish, to the swift steed, inhabitant of Lachish. Try saying that ten times fast. Lachish was a city in Yehuda situated in close proximity to Malchus Yisrael, and was therefore Rishas Chatas Hi Levas Tzion, the beginning of sin for the daughter of Tzion, a reference to its role as an early influencee of the neighboring Malchus Yehuda and its idolatry, and then an influencer in Malchus Yehuda. The Assyrians, during the time of Chizkiyahu, laid siege to Lachish and eventually conquered it prior to their ultimately failed siege of Yerushalayim. The Lachish reliefs, in which the Assyrian king Sennacherib boasts of his victories against Yehuda, are on display today at the British Museum. Another one of the many examples of Lashon Nofel Lashon is found in verse 14. Batei Achziv L'Achzav L'Malchei Yisrael. The houses of Achziv, a city in Yehuda, will become a lost cause to the kings of Yisrael. As Radak explains, these are houses of idol worship in which people have placed their hope. Once they are destroyed, they'll realize that their hope was placed in Chazav, in false gods. The parak ends with the Navi figuratively addressing the cities of Yehuda that have been mentioned, saying, Karchi Bagozi, shave your heads and cut off your hair, instructing them to mourn, Ki galumimich, for they have gone into captivity from you. He is telling the cities to mourn for their exiled inhabitants. The eventual destruction of these cities, as predicted by Micha, will only happen after the people go through the short-sighted process of destroying themselves spiritually from within. Let's take a moment to think. We are not idolaters, but do we ever borrow from their mindset? Do we only see ourselves, or do we move outside of ourselves and try to see other people's genuine needs for our understanding, for our affirmation, for our focused attention? It's not easy work to look outside of ourselves, but that's really the work that builds people. It builds our world, and it actually builds us too. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat, Gilbert Crescenti, Menachem Mendel, Ben Sa'ud.